This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And the opening half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best of new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way. Routine to difficult. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And the trade deadline is on the horizon, so we will talk with Bob Nightingale of USA Today. First of all, most important question, Bob, how are you?
Yeah, doing good. Just got back from Cooperstown last night from the ceremony. So, yeah, and the All-Star last week. So it was a crazy, fun, but crazy week.
Let me, I want to ask about Cooperstown first. Is that the kind of place, and when you see all the Hall of Famers from the past up on stage with the new ones about to be inducted, is that one of those, I realize you've done this a long time, but is it still a goosebump moment?
It's very cool. I mean, you know, the first time guys are so excited, and for the guys, the Hall of Famers that come back every year, just, their one chance to see everybody and catch up and tell stories at the, at the bar, at the hotel. But yeah, everybody, they golf and stuff. But yeah, it's like when they say what Disneyland is the happiest place on earth, it's probably the happiest place on earth, for baseball players.
Okay, so now we get to this part, and I've asked you this question, I feel like every year the last few years, but there's so many teams that have an opportunity at this stage to think they can make the playoffs because of the expanded field. Does it make it more difficult at times to judge sellers versus buyers?
This one, probably. I mean, this one, I think there might be fewer sellers than ever. I don't remember this many teams. Of course, expand the wild cards, but this many teams in a race. We only have like five teams that are completely out of it. So, yeah, I think a lot of teams don't know what to do. So I think we're going to see a lot of teams just stand pat. Like, you know what? We're not going to buy. We're not going to sell. And the thing is, too, is people, may think that, well, if we make the playoffs, how far are we going to go? But then you look at the Arizona Diamondbacks last year and say, wait a minute now, they're the last team in, they made the World Series. So, yeah, I think it will be a lot less active than people think. You know, if it's active, it's, a lot of, relievers and more smaller-type players. So I'm not, providing Tarek Skubal's not moved, throwing Garrett Crochet. But besides those two guys, I'm not sure there's a difference maker out there.
Right, because, I mean, there's not a Justin Verlander you can pick up at a trade at this particular point that's going to swing it one way or the other. Crochet's, with the White Sox. America doesn't really know much about him because he plays for the White Sox. What kind of potential difference maker could he make to a contender?
Well, that's a big question, Steve, is that this guy's already thrown more innings than he has his entire career just because he's been, hurt a lot. And so no one knows, how much can he pitch, the second half. His reliever, he's converted to a reliever. And so you're probably not going to be able to start him in September or October, but, he should be able to pitch in relief. So, but the big thing is you still have him for two more years, and right now he's probably making the minimum salary, $800,000. So, but yeah, that's the only big asterisk is what can he give you down the stretch.
the Cubs are in an interesting spot. They're in the neighborhood of the playoffs. Not in, but they're in the neighborhood of it. What is the feeling there with the Cubs about keeping their nucleus together long-term versus short-term gain of making a deal?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now they're in a situation just, you know, hold them. It's like, you know, that they're not really, they're not in the race, you know, they're not really out of it, and they're saying, you know what, we, you know, it'd be stupid to trade prospects and go for it. So I think they'd be leaning more on the seller part, like let's give away some free, you know, some fringe parts that, you know, we can, you know, get a nice return for, because there's so few sellers. I think they may be looking at it as an opportunity, like, okay, let's gear up for 2025.
Who would you expect to be the aggressive ones that will attempt to make deals? Is it the usual crowd that we would expect, Yankees, Dodgers, Padres, people like that?
Yeah, it would. Yeah, exactly, those teams. I think Seattle's going to be desperate to get an offensive, you know, get a bat. You know, their pitching is so good. It's a shame to waste that pitching because it's so dominant. You know, nobody wants to face the Mariners in the first round. So, but yeah, I mean, the Dodgers have invested so much money in this team. For them, it's, you know, World Series championship or bust. I know, you know, people say that, but for them, it really is. I think it'd be very embarrassing for them not to at least make the World Series. And then, you know, in the Yankees, I think, you know, they need to go at least until late October, whether it's a World Series or at least, you know, deep in the ALCS, where they'll consider their season failure.
All right, so then there's the Astros, who got off to a tremendous 12-24 start and were essentially buried, yet they've come back. So when you look at them at this point and Dana Brown, does he become slightly aggressive at this point?
He does. I mean, the window's starting to close there. I mean, you don't have, you know, Bregman's a free agent after the year. Verlander's a free agent after the year. Have much of a farm system, so I think they'll be, you know, not real aggressive, but semi-aggressive. It's amazing what they've done with all the pitching injuries, and you know, still be, you know, tied for first place, you know, right there. It's amazing. So I think they'll do everything possible, just because this team is used to you know, winning in October, and but this will be seven straight, you know, ALCS appearances.
I looked up underachieving in the dictionary, and the Toronto Blue Jays team picture came up. So when you look at them, and look, they've got talent, but how active do you expect them to be on the selling part of this, and how active are people going to be in terms of making phone calls to Toronto?
Well, there'll be a lot of phone calls to Toronto, particularly for Kikuchi, who's available. We'll see about Bassett. You know, they got, you know, Jansen, the catcher. So, you know, George Springer. So, no, I think teams will be very aggressive with them. I don't think they want to, you know, give away their future. I think they still want to go for 2025. Last year, Bichette. Last year, of you know, Vlad Guerrero. But yeah, they have achieved. They haven't won a playoff game since Alex Anthopoulos left of Atlanta in 2015. So you got to think there's going to be some firing set after the season.
Right. No question about that. It just seems like they're on that pathway. Unfortunately for them, because, I mean, it sounds like, you know, they're not untalented. They are. Cleveland has been a great story from day one. If they make any changes, would they be subtle ones based on the nucleus they already have?
It would be. And they could use some outfield help for sure. You know, their starting pitching has been as struggling. They would like to do that. But I can't see them, you know, going all in, throwing away some top prospects and going for it. These, you know, in their mind, they're going to say, are we really going to beat up the Yankees? Are we going to beat out, you know, Baltimore Orioles? You know, that sort of thing.
Right. Well, people around here, of course, will ask about the Phillies, who have had, obviously, a tremendous season to this point. Dave Dombrowski is usually pretty savvy around this time of the year. What do you expect from them?
I think they got another outfield bat, a right-handed hitter, kind of doing with Marsh, and it's a bullpen. Their bullpen is struggling of late. You know, they don't need don't know anything to do much, but they could use a back end reliever for sure. And so that's, you know, haunted David Bowden for years as far as, you know, not having that that lights out closer, you know, whatever, you know, Benoit, you know, blowing it against the Red Sox, David Ortiz home run 13, and on it, those bullpens that caused Dave. So I think they're gonna go get their back end reliever for sure.
I do have to. The Red Sox were interesting. Hot right before the break. Since the break, have not won a game. Now, four of them were against the Dodgers at Chavez Ravine. Where are they right now with all this and Craig Breslow?
You know, I don't think they're going to buy. I think they'll either mildly sell or stay pat. I don't think they, you know, thought they'd be in position to be in final position. I don't think realistically they think, you know, they would go to the World Series. You know, they want to keep, you know, Alex Cora. You know, he's really one thing possible, you know, to let him know they're in to win. But I don't see him being aggressive at all. I think they'll could even make some move there to, you know, for the future. You know, whether it's, you know, dealing Jansen or something like that. And say, you know what, you know, bear with us. You know, we're going to try to be a very good team and open the window up beginning in 2025.
Yeah, and that's interesting. I have to ask you, Tampa Bay made a big step forward with the package to stay in St. Petersburg. I believe it still has to go to a referendum, I believe.
Wednesday, tomorrow night. They cleared the first big step. So I think the second one, you know, will happen, you know, which will prove that $6.5 billion project.
So if the A's are settled on Las Vegas, and Tampa Bay is settled on a new ballpark in St. Petersburg, does that now open the door to expansion based on what Rob Manfred outlined a couple of years ago?
Well, it does, but I don't think the timetable has changed at all. I still think you're thinking 2029 at the earliest, more likely 2030. And the two teams or two cities continue to be, you know, Nashville and Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City's interesting. I mean, they just got a hockey team to go with the basketball team. At Nashville, we know, they're about as organized as you can be. And at one point, Dave Dombrowski was part of that organization. What's made Salt Lake City emerge in your mind?
I think they have a big-time ownership group. I want to say involves the owner of Utah Jazz, the Miller family. Just the money's in place. They think they can build a stadium. The hunger's there. They don't think they have to go too many loopholes to get, you know, to get what they want. And of course, it'd be nice to have a team, you know, out west if you're going to have a team, you know, in the central time zone. I mean, baseball would love to go to back to Montreal, but just nobody has stepped forward, and I don't think they have any confidence at all they could get a stadium. So particularly with what Oakland's gone through, Tampa, Miami, you know, you better have everything in place and not take any chances.
In your opinion, Bob, what kind of season has this been for baseball? Has this been a good season, an excellent season, an okay season? What kind of season to this point do you think it's been?
It's been a good season. You know, I know attendance is up, TV ratings is up, a lot of young talent. And I think with all these teams in the race, yeah, it helps. You know, I'm sure they're hoping it stays through till September so you can get some nice September crowds. But, yeah, I mean, there's nothing been historic about it. I mean, obviously, Ohtani's having their fabulous year. Judge is having their great year. You know, they haven't had... You know, they've had some controversies, obviously, with the gambling scandal and that sort of thing. But I think, in general, baseball's pretty happy.
Well, we're always happy when we have you on. Thanks so much, Bob, for your time, as always. Great information, and appreciate you very much.
All right, my pleasure. Take care, Steve.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today, always doing great work along the way. Still to come on the show, Neil Coulon will get his expert analysis, and then we'll get analysis from Matt Catrillo. What? Did I miss a word?
His preview does not have the Yankees in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez. During the Olympics, by the way, is the suit coming into work?
That's a good question. I mean, I guess we don't find out till next week because the opening ceremonies aren't till Friday night. I'm assuming he can squeeze in work Friday.
Oh, no. Friday, he loves the opening ceremonies. Hey, to me, it's just a, like, who cares? I could care less. He loves the opening ceremony. Thinks it's the greatest thing going. Sets the tone for the whole thing. Loves it.
He sounds like he's coaching the Olympics.
No, I'm telling you. Ask him. He loves the opening ceremonies to the Olympics.
Ooh.
Yeah, I realize I said the same thing. I'm just telling you.
It is weird because that, you know, maybe not as much now as I'm older, but when I was a kid, I used to love the Olympics, and that was the one
same
thing here. I never watched was the opening and closing ceremonies.
Same here.
I'm not a parade guy either, so that might play into it.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, okay. And the history of Paris. Yeah, great. You got a river. You're sophisticated. The tower's cool. Right? Arc de Triomphe, very cool. Love it. Louvre, great. Okay. Start the games. Start playing. In
Do
a
we
shocking
get a live-action
state.
Mona Lisa.
Ooh. All right. Yes. Very interesting. All right. I'm going to give you a shocking statement from Tony Petitti, the Big Ten commissioner, next. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Okay. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So yesterday, Todd, when I was talking about Tony Petitti addressing the media today, what did I say he would say when it came to expansion?
He would say it nicely that they weren't interested, but they would keep their options open later.
I said that they're happy with their 18, right?
Yes.
I think that's how I phrased it. We're happy with the 18 we have. Today, at the Big Ten Media Days, he said, quote, "We are focused on the 18 we have right now." I also said yesterday that they have to see how 18 works, right? Well, a lot of work has been done to integrate USC, UCLA, and we started that work over immediately when we added Oregon and Washington. So I think we're really comfortable with where we are. We've got to get this conference right, and that's where our focus is. I really believe scheduling is something that has to be constantly evaluated by sport. This sounds like yesterday's show. And I anticipate that we'll get a lot more right in these next couple of years the way we've formatted and scheduled. But our job is to listen to our student-athletes, to listen to coaches, and to make sure we're adjusting and making change where needed. That sounds like yesterday's show, Todd.
I was going to say almost the exact thoughts, not quite verbatim, though.
Right, exactly. They're going to keep the Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis through at least 2028, but they'll be open to moving it around after that, including the West Coast. Now, to me, the West Coast would mean you move it to Las Vegas. See, I can see the Big Ten basketball tournament eventually getting a year in Las Vegas. I can see the Big Ten football championship game eventually being in Las Vegas. Just for a year. I also wish they'd taken it to Lambeau Field.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We heard from Bob Nightingale in the first half hour. Neil Coulong will join us at 2:05, and Matt Catrillo is back at 2:35. What else is going on around here? Sunbury Northumberland Junior Legion is headed to the State Junior Legion Tournament. That begins Saturday in Homer City in Indiana County. They were actually supposed to play Upper Perkiomen today, beat them twice to see who the champion was, but after thunderstorms last night, they just said that Upper Perk was the champion and Sunbury Nori is in second place. So again, they qualify for the Junior Legion State Tournament, which again is out in Homer City in Indiana County. Selins Grove 8-10 division softball is in the elimination bracket of the state tournament. That is out at St. Mary's. They play the host school at 4 o'clock this afternoon, or the host team, St. Mary's Little League, in the elimination bracket out there. And then Senior Legion is going on right now, the Region 5 tournament up at North Berwick Field. Montandon is still alive. Montandon and Hughesville, actually. They're playing right now. Winner gets Greater Pittston. That state tournament begins Saturday out at North Allegheny High School in Wexford near Pittsburgh.
There you go. A lot of words.
I know. I feel like the 106 or the 706 news update sometimes. The first local news of the day.
There you go. Well done. Half hour be it. Bye. By the way, brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities, businesses, athletes. Start your journey today. NILGameChangers.org. Reggie Jackson's going to sign with the Sixers, by the way. He's always been a good offensive player. Always been a good offensive player. Whether in college, at Boston College, or in the NBA, he's been a good offensive player. So I think that's a nice little pickup for the Sixers. I mean, he's 34 now, but that's a good pickup. Now let's get, and this will be something I talk with Neil Coulong about, and it's something we've talked about before. Excuse me. And it looks like that the talks are now serious between the NFL and the Players Association about an 18th game. The union is actually open to it, and they wouldn't mind doing it before the collective bargaining agreement runs out. So, let's talk about that for a moment. 18 games, which would be 9 home, 9 away. Not everybody's going to get 9 home, 9 away. There are going to be some games moved overseas. because their fans are more important than ours.
Oh. Really?
Still can't. I mean, they took a home game away from Eagles fans to move it to Brazil. Really? I'm sorry. I can't buy into that. I can't buy into it.
Did you see they asked Richard Clark about that? If he'd be willing to move one of the quarterfinals to a foreign city.
Oh.
He laughed. He said, there are so many cities that want to host this stuff in the United States that I would get pillared, get brutalized if I moved it to a different
Absolutely.
Country.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, okay, you have to realize what and who got you here. The American sports fan got you here. And not the Brazilian fan. I don't mind playing preseason games in Brazil. I don't mind playing preseason games in Germany. I don't mind playing preseason games in Japan, Australia, England. It doesn't matter. But regular season games, okay, the fans of this country have paid the freight forever. All right, that's me. Now, an 18-game schedule would have to include an additional bye week. Joe Burrow is correct about that. And I want to say something about college football for a moment and add this in. This year, I'm sure the fans have all noticed, is that there are two bye weeks this year. And for Penn State, they are, what, September 14th and October 20th, October 19th. Right? Those are the two bye weeks. And that's because it always happens when the schedule falls between Labor Day weekend and Thanksgiving weekend, and there are 14 weekends available to play. And it turns out that Thanksgiving is late this year. It's November 28th. And Labor Day is early this year. It is September 2nd. So whenever that schedule comes up, it's 14 weeks. Just, you know, look back at history, it'll tell you that. Which means you get two bye weeks. Well, I think moving forward, college football needs to seriously consider two bye weeks every season. If you're going to expand the season with the playoff, I think you need two bye weeks. And that's because I think you need to think of the student athlete along the way, and especially when you're a conference like the Big Ten, which is now a coast-to-coast conference, you need to consider two bye weeks. It's good for the game. It's good for the student athletes. And I would do that. I mean, the NFL has one right now. Going to 18, they would probably put in two. Well, I think college football needs to permanently go to two. Now, if that means starting the weekend, what's currently week zero, and play, in this case, would be games on August 24th, right? If that means that, to do that, that's fine. I'm okay with that. Now, I would also strongly recommend a lot of night games. But I think it's something that you need to do. Now, that's me. Yeah.
I think teams are going to want that once they realize how much they miss that long break also, you know, at the end of the season to the bowl game, where they're not going to get that if you're in the playoff now.
Right. I mean, you'll get a bye week there at minimum. And in some cases, it may be three if you're an at-large that doesn't make the conference championship game. You'll have 3 weeks between games. But with the possibility that you could be a team that loses your conference championship game, but get in as an at-large, you could play 17 games to get to the championship game total. And I think that's why you need to consider the second bye week in there. I think you need, with all the travel and everything like that, I think the Big Ten was dramatically helped this year in its scheduling of the four West Coast teams because they had the two bye weeks to work with. As I mentioned earlier, 14 Central and Eastern time zone teams are going to play on the West Coast. And in 8 of the 14 cases, it was followed up by a bye week. Penn State's in that category. They play at USC, then a bye week on the 19th of October, then they go to Wisconsin. The other six had home games scheduled the next week. I think the second bye week makes scheduling for a coast-to-coast conference much, much better. Now, this 18-game thing, look, the NFL's been pushing this the entire time. And the head of the NFL Players Association made a couple of points. His name is Lloyd Howell. He was talking to the Washington Post. Said whether it's field surface, which is important, whether it's off-season schedule, if you want to call that formal negotiations, I call it bargaining. I call it amendments. I call it updates to what is now a living document called the CBA. Yeah, we want to be able to have our membership in a position to jump on it when we can and not wait until their playing days are done. It's like you go through the cycle all over again. Well, there has to be a concession on an 18-game season. You have to take, to me, I think you have to take the salary cap, got to move it up. People need to get more money for it.
I really, you know, and I think we talked about this when they first brought this up a couple months ago. I wonder if that's, you know, if this ends up what they're asking for to change, you know, to get out of, not to get out of, but to end kind of the off-season stuff and, you know, not having to come in June and then come back at the end of July.
I mean, to be honest with you, it's the NFL. You got a training camp, right? Why do you need to have OTAs?
Yeah. I think it's a function of it's, you know, being stuck in the 60s and 70s when guys used to get out of shape and, you know, nobody gets out of shape anymore.
No, they don't. I mean, you watch a game in the NFL and go, oh, that dude's out of shape. Not anymore.
They don't smoke on the sidelines anymore either.
That's exactly right. I mean, there's that famous photo of in the locker room of Super Bowl I of Len Dawson taking a drag on the cigarette at halftime at the Coliseum, you know, before they went out and played the Packers in the second half. That doesn't happen anymore. Okay, that doesn't happen. You know, it's... You know, it's... Now, I think it's also fair to ask this question. And that is, if you're going to expand to 18 games, how many is too many? And I'm talking about not from the player point of view, not from the competition point of view. I'm talking about from the fan point of view. There's always excitement in week one, week two. Then things kind of... And around Thanksgiving, it really picks up again. Yeah, Thanksgiving Day, three games that weekend, you know. Saturday games don't draw as much interest. Thursday games have picked up a bit last year. Some better games didn't hurt. But you can't have Ravens Chiefs every weekend. You can't have that. Can't have Eagles Packers every weekend. Todd, what's the point where you're playing too many games?
I don't know, but they're going to push it until they find out, I bet. I mean, I what popped into my head when you're talking about that is kind of the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire thing about it. I don't know if people remember that was such a big hit when it was once a week, and then they by the time it was done, they were showing it three times a week, and it just, you know, it just went away because they oversaturated it. And I understand this with 18 regular season games, the playoffs. We're talking, you know, September through February now.
Yeah,
and have we taken an off season break for football from the NFL at all? You know, it's just it's constant, and I think that's what they wanted. But also, when does the oversaturation happen? Like you said, we haven't reached it yet, but I get your point. Did you see that today? I think Peacock lost 30 million subscribers or something like that. Somebody made the joke that apparently everybody remembered they subscribed to that Chiefs Dolphins game last month and see, canceled. I mean,
but again, it's amazing. They've tried. I realize cord cutting is real. Now it's real to the point where there's still 70 to 75 million households that still have cable. It's not like everybody thinks, like, cord cutting, everybody cut the cable, there's only 5 million left. No, it's 70 to 75 million. But they've been trying to force streaming down everybody's throats, right? Yeah. Stream, stream, stream. It's like electric vehicles. And again, I'm not here to make political statements, but people are not buying electric vehicles. At least, like, the percentage of vehicles sold in this country that are EVs is actually dropping. It's like down to like, it was 7% at its peak. It's like 5% now. Because people are looking and go, I don't really want that. No. As of right now, 5 years from now, that could change, right?
Exactly.
Right. But as of right now, it's not, they aren't selling. Same thing with the streaming thing. People get it for a moment, and then they drop it. Netflix is going to get a huge bump on Christmas Day from the NFL, and there are going to be people that drop it. And you're right about the Peacock thing. We got 23 million streamers. And as I pointed out then, you and I felt the same way, they cut off 15 to 20 million of their audience. They could have had as many as 43 million on that Saturday night across the country watching that game if they'd done it the traditional way, and they didn't do it. And then proclaimed it a success. That's not a success. Cutting off 15 to 20 million viewers who just looked at you and go, nah, I don't want to do that. Hey, 23 million streamers, to me, that's about, for them, would have been about 55% of the audience that they could have potentially had. So they cut 45% off. That's a success. And we've talked over and over again about how the streaming companies are losing money. I mean, and not just a few dollars. We're talking like nine figures worth of losses every year. Nine figures. When they're running, it's even more than that because it gets even higher, right? When you're running, you're putting out stories saying, in the last quarter of the year, we lost $620 million on streaming, which is an improvement over last year when we lost $750 million. Okay, you know what that means to me? That means you lost $1.38 billion in the last quarter of the last 2 years combined. Okay. Am I missing something here?
I don't know how that's sustainable for them.
It's not.
It can't be.
It's not. And you know what people are finding out? They add up their streaming bills right now, and they're sitting there going, gee, I paid just as much for cable. That's the weird part.
Well, then they're bundling everything and reinventing cable. It just streams now.
Right, exactly. Exactly. We'll take a break. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. your opportunity to name, image, and likeness, business, athlete. These guys are great at it. It's all at NILGameChangers.org here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Henry Ford started building trucks in 1917, and Sunbury Motors has been selling them ever since. SMC has over 100 new Ford trucks with savings of up to $12,116, and financing as low as 0% during their annual July truck sale. Choose from 16 of the top-selling 2024 Ford Mavericks. They get up to 42 miles per gallon, and Sunbury Motors has them priced as low as $27,835. SMC has Central PA's largest selection of new Ford F-150s, with 48 to pick from, and well-equipped Supercrew XLTs start at just $49,831. Sunbury Motors has a wide selection of Super Duty pickups with 36 to choose from, including regular cabs, Supercrews, and utility bodies with gas or diesel engines. SMC is where you want to be in July for the hottest deals on new Ford trucks. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is a fifth-generation Ford dealer proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Yeah, the question is, what's too many? Now, you have to keep pushing it, I guess, till you find out. But here's the next part. This is one of the biggest issues I have with commissioners of all sports. And I know they're supposed to advocate for the owners. That part I understand. When it comes time to sit down and negotiate collective bargaining agreements, the commissioners who are hired by the owners are the ones leading for the owners. But I want commissioners, and let's go back to yesterday, John Parada. When I asked him about Rob Manfred, he said he acted like he didn't want to be there. Okay? I want my commissioner to be passionate about my fans. I realize there's business and business needs to be done. I understand that. But I think the fans need to have an advocate, and that advocate needs to be the commissioner. We're sitting there saying, hey, let's do everything we can to make sure that we're all doing well financially. But at the same time, I want to do it in such a way where our fans know that how much we appreciate them and do as many things as possible and make decisions as often as possible that benefit the fans. Because in the end, no fans, no business. That's what I'd like to see commissioners be. Not just always going out and racking up as many Sunday ticket deals as possible, which is part of the job, but also saying to yourself, hey, in the end, are we doing something that's best for the fans? I want a commissioner that asks that question every time a decision is made.
But that is also usually in direct contrast of what the owners think they need, which is partially some of the problem.